Ooh, you're now rocking with the best. This is D Suave. You're tuned in to D Suave Radio, aka Steal This Beer. Please donate to these guys so they can continue doing this thing. Patreon, please donate. Gracias.
Steal This Beer, a candid weekly discussion about beer, over beer, by a couple of guys that think about beer way too much.
All right, hey, it's 5 o'clock on Sunday,
but nope. 5 o'clock on Monday.
Wow, we actually were doing it at 5 o'clock on Monday, and you still can't get it right.
There's something corrupt in my brain that just will not make you happy with time. So I don't know what it is.
Hi, everybody.
It was completely unconscious too. I'm a bit raspy and hung today. I got at it.
Did you?
At it last night
on Sunday night
with my family. Yeah, ooh. So I was being well behaved, and then my brother-in-law ordered no dub, and then we started dubstepping, and I just haven't been right since.
I just did something similar. We're here at Barcade Jersey City, and they have Sriracha Ace from Brooklyn on tap. Nice. And it is a beer that routinely gets me into trouble.
Is it
like
really?
Every time I have this beer, something bad happens. Like, I make poor decisions when I drink this beer. So haven't had my first sip yet, but
I can't wait to see where this
yeah,
goes.
Well, we're recording two shows today. Justin's up next after us. So
Justino.
It'll oh, be man, great.
But let's talk about
let's
today's
talk about
accomplice.
Today's guest, yeah.
So Kat Walensky, thank you for joining us. How are you?
Thank you.
Get closer.
Get closer.
They yell at us when they can't hear you. Get really just get
am
into
I close
it.
Enough?
Here, you nice. Can sit
that's
back.
Better.
Here, you can sit back. We'll move the mic to you.
Okay.
It's okay.
Well, until it falls.
Yeah, until
don't let it
yeah,
fall.
Now you're good. Yeah.
It's very valuable mic.
Yeah. It looks like it.
No, these are
impressive.
these are sweet audio recorders. Welcome, senior writer.
Senior staff writer
at
VinePair. That's right.
How big is the staff at VinePair? How many people are identified as staff writers?
At least two if you're going to have a senior writer, right?
Sort of.
I wouldn't know.
There are 8 of us in the office and about 10 total. A couple people are remote. But yeah, it's a small staff.
Right on. And VinePair writes about wine, beer, spirits, drinking.
All of the above.
Kind of, do you newsmen, do you writer types have a name for paper versus internet?
Digital.
It's digital only, right?
Okay. Yeah, it's an online publication, like you said, covering wine, beer, and spirits. It is kind of taking the tack of making these things more conversational, more approachable. I love my beer magazines, like the one we have right here, but they can be kind of cerebral for people that don't know a lot about drinking.
Yeah.
And VinePair tries to make things kind of just more casual and fun while
so,
also being
so a gateway pub.
Yeah. Kind of.
Publication.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pub.
There's other location. Things called pubs that
oh,
we
yeah?
talk about on this show.
Oh, yeah?
So I was confused there.
I don't listen to the show.
So according to my amazing and thorough notes from Justin
oh,
Kennedy
wow.
today.
And like size I think, 18 font.
For some, it's like, for it's some like reason he wrote 8 words on Kat. Yeah, yeah like this should be full of words. There's none. But so recently was a selling out without being bought, right? That was one of your more recent articles that impressed Justin, I guess.
Yes, I think it impressed him because I interviewed him for it.
really? Is that a self-plug?
Yeah.
Dude, you are shameless.
I didn't read, but I read the last one.
How is Justin identified in print? Yeah. So it's Justin Kennedy.
What do you call Justin?
Yeah. You call him a beer writer, I think, right? Yeah.
I don't know. That's true.
A beer writer and author of the Scratch recently released Scratch and Sniff Guide to Beer. Yeah.
Is that out yet?
So, but no. Let's definitely not
I've
get to that
it.
Book because we're doing 40 on that book next. Let's talk about Kat, not Justin. What a sneaky plant that was! You are shady, Justin. All right, but so, do you have a favorite type of beer writing? Like, you know what I mean? Like, is there a Kat Walensky story is more fun to tell than others? Like, do you get sick of? Hey, it's the 5th of May. Write about Mexican lager,
oh,
or
definitely.
What's the right beer for
and
Thanksgiving?
I did that too.
Did you? What's the Kat Walensky dream story? What's the ones you like to get into?
The dream stories are the ones where I get to interview a lot of people, kind of approach a topic I find interesting, kind of more like human interest stories or business leaning stories. This one was a pretty good one, the selling out without selling.
So what was the point there? I didn't get to read it. Not only
yeah,
because
Justin
just put
notes.
This down in
yeah.
front of me. And God, I wish I had, because if I'd known he was in it, I would have busted him so hard on that.
Yeah, I was basically saying that there's like a changing landscape at breweries, and sort of in the same way that an indie band becomes less loved by its original fans as it gets more popular. Breweries are now getting bigger and busier, and it's because they're selling one certain type of beer. You may know it. It's called an IPA.
I think you just gave us one, actually.
Yeah.
the Black Lash just landed on the desk, and it smells like that beer.
Yeah.
So that beer, the Double Dry Hop DDH, not this, but
right.
These line-causing fanfare, yeah. like fetish beers. Everyone's doing them now because it makes the money, but it also kind of changes an atmosphere. But there were some particular examples in the article that I won't
like
mention.
What?
Now.
Yeah,
do
give
I have
us
to
some.
It?
You
okay.
don't have to.
Do whatever you want.
A pretty good example was Other Half, which started out as this like
we know those guys.
Alternative scene where you kind of felt like you were part of a community, and it was sort of like a punk rock vibe. And then flash forward a couple of years. I was there recently, and someone I interviewed also had the same experience, where it was like overwhelmingly touristy, for lack of a better word, just a lot of bros, like buttoned up financial guys trading beers, and it just felt very different and felt like not the same place that I went and enjoyed 4 years ago.
Oh.
So that type of...
I get you.
And you're seeing more change. Of that in your writing.
And
what do you think it means, though, for the overall beer culture? Like, what's your ultimate takeaway? Everybody's going to go read this story, but let's just do the spoiler alert. And
I guess the takeaway is making an IPA, there's nothing wrong with it. They're delicious. They are the most popular craft beer category right now, and they make breweries money. And the takeaway was basically Justin's line.
Oh, God.
Oh, here we go.
Which
Jesus.
I agree
what
with.
Did
it's
I say?
Like,
just
repeat I'm
it right now.
Just like you can't fault them for running a business and having to make money, and with that money they're able to fund other projects, like you
sure.
know, other experimental things. But it does kind of come at a cost of changing the vibe.
Yeah. What's interesting, though, is that I'm finding that there are a lot of experimental things that brewers are doing, but they need the tank space to make those IPAs, to get
right.
those out the door. And so every fourth beer or every 40th beer is something experimental because they just don't have the time or the tank space to do it. And I really wonder what will happen to some of those breweries when the haze craze just chills off just a little bit. Or, you know, people find the next big thing down the street from the current... indie darling, as it were. You know, will there be enough in the arsenal for a brewery that's popular right now to maintain popularity and maintain business? And we're not at that point yet, but logic tells us that it'll probably happen. So that'll be a fun thing to cover.
I got to tell you, from the brewer perspective, we just stood a couple tanks over a carton. We finally got a project we've been working on 5 years in place. And the first 25 things I wrote a recipe for are all what would be called that IPA because we didn't get to make it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because our mandate is to be doing stuff nobody else is doing, we just laid off the ones that we knew were taken care of. But now that I have two extra tanks to fool around with, I just keep calling the guys up. I'm like, all right, go, you know, get me 10 tons of this yeast and 50 million tons of this hop and let's see what they do on Optic. And it's just all these things that were easy to push off for us for a while, but I mean...
But is there a risk, though, of you guys becoming like a Johnny Come Lately to the game now for this?
But I don't care about that.
Okay.
As long as we're making beers we want to drink. We just did one with our boys from Magnify.
That's right.
This weekend. And
the cherry marshmallow.
You know, we, of course, it's a cherry marshmallow, double dry hop, double IPA. And, of course, I wrote none of that on the can to make sure it never sells. None of that it says on the can. On the can, it says lactote, lacto pale ale, you know, late hopped with these hops.
Adjunct cherry flavoring.
I made
natural
the cherries.
Cherry
I made,
flavoring.
I made the marshmallows
myself. You sent me the picture.
Sour cherry concentrate, rose water, and pistachio, and then...
gave it all to a ridiculous yeast that ate it all up. So it's just a hoppy beer. It's fun.
Did
man.
It
You'd like
out
it.
Clean?
Yeah, it's well, it's hazy. It looks like that, but dude, Sriracha Ace looks hazy nowadays.
Yeah, I mean, this beer's ahead of its time.
Look at you, you're getting all saucy over there, John Hall. So, Kat, so, but what? All right, so I don't want to do the what do you wish they were brewing, but being somebody that gets the other half regularly, they do have other beers. They don't just make IPAs. It's just the loud noises are about IPAs, right? Like.
Right.
They do. They
I'm
do
not
a
even
great little
other
half pilsner.
Or what they brew, or I mean, what they brew is delicious, yeah. And I still
the
like
pilsner,
their beer
the
a lot.
Crickets one this weekend. That was good.
Oh, I haven't had it yet. Yeah, they do a bunch. They do stouts and they do some sour stuff. It's not even really. I don't know whose fault it is. It's like something gets popular. It's beer is becoming more craft beer is becoming more mainstream, and that's a good thing, right? Like. We want more people to be drinking better beer, but it does sort of change things a little bit.
Yeah, I get it. And to be fair, it's there's no way to do that. I don't think anybody in any genre. You made the music comparison, right? But in anything, right? Nothing goes from the indie Justin Hipster darling, you know, jean manufacturer or single speed bike manufacturer or music maker or. You know, cappuccino roaster. Mm-hmm. Nobody opens their fifth shop before everybody's like, "Ah, that's so 4 years ago." So, you know, I hope we get through it just like everything else gets through it. And somebody, you know, I don't think craft brewer is going to be the ones that figure out how to. We don't do many things subtly, right? So it's not going to. We're not going to be the part of the world that figures out how to subtly make that transfer. Well, let's talk about the beer. So, what brings us together for Steal This Beer is a candid discussion. Of beer, what it is, and not what we thought it would be, wished it be, or hoped it be. This is to facilitate that conversation, we drink blind out of a black glass, which we're doing right now. John Hall has an exasperated version of his mosaic hop face on. We are drinking right now. I'll start because John is really making wonderful things, and I think he's got that sriracha dill thing going on that's pushing these hops to a weird place on them. So it smells like IPA. It doesn't taste much like IPA.
That's where...
It's been completely denuded of all bitterness. This is a bitter-free beer.
Yes.
I'd be surprised if they even whirlpool hopped this one.
There's something, though, about... when you say denuded, part of it makes me think of a British IPA, of an old world IPA, but without the bitterness to it. But there's a softness to it.
The water quality.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of
it's
fun
creamy.
Old world things going on with this that almost makes me think of like a Fuller's pale ale that's been sitting around for 20 years or
Except
something.
It doesn't
but without
have
the
any
oxidation.
Of that malt. Sweetness.
No, but that's the thing. But it has it feels like it has some age on it or that it but without oxidation. Like that's the
my only problem with that. I think I get what you're saying. But my only problem with that line of reasoning is. How aromatic it is, right? Because it can't be old and jump out of the glass like that. You know what I mean? Even in a can, this would fade in 3 months. But I think the water profile is the interesting thing here, and I think you're right. It's burtonized. Like it's almost salty. It's so heavily salted, and I mean brewing salts, not table salt. But it almost represents as HCl, right? Because it's where the bitterness would be, there's kind of like that iodized salt flavor to whatever they did to the water, or maybe it is legitimate Burton water, but
damn,
feels like somebody did a lot of work on this water structure.
And that's the thing. And there, for some reason, it's making me something. When you said that, in the back of my mind, triggered, and I can't remember where in Vermont that I had like an old world. It's almost like some of the IPAs that Greg Noonan used to make up at the Vermont Pub and Brewery.
Which he
would fool around with a lot of the water, and then John Kimmich worked for him, and Kimmich does a lot of good things with his water there as well. There's something that's this is just like a really nice afternoon drinking, almost like ballpark day game doubleheader kind of thing. I'm hoping it's lower ABV. I'm hoping it's in the 5% range.
I think you're low.
Yeah, you think I'm low on this?
It's flabbier than that. I don't think it's 8 or 9.
but it's I'd put it in six and a half. You know what I mean? Part of that salty thing I'm talking about is...
You think it's masking some of the...
You know what I mean? I just think it feels a little...
There is like a black tea herbal bitterness that comes on with the more sips that I'm having.
Yeah. I think...
Where would you have this?
I wouldn't session this. I like the drinking, but it's going to... There's not enough bitter to keep it interesting to me for a third and fourth can. You know what I mean? I'm imagining... I don't want to be prejudiced to the smell, but I'm imagining this came in a four-pack of Pactec topped aluminum sticker cans. And if I had four of them, I imagine if it was an all-day drinking, these four beers would be spaced about 2 hours with various other beers in between. Because I think it smells great, I think it's fun, and it's pretty. But by a second, I'd be like, all right, so it still tastes like that one hop and that salty water thing, but I think it'd be fun to mix into a bunch of other drinking, right? Yeah. Just to freshen up and start over. It's definitely a fun, cool, neat flavor. I don't think you would need to buy more than a 4-pack of it at any given time. Does that make sense?
Sure.
You guys want to know what it is?
Wait, don't tell them yet.
Okay.
Why? So it's not a sticker can.
It isn't.
It's trying to be a sticker can.
Oh, it's somebody's copy of a sticker can? Is this Sam Adams hazy one?
Yes! All right. Yes.
That makes total sense.
All right.
I thought it would be a fun...
No, that is fun. And that makes total sense.
Yeah, I'm going to stand by exactly what I said with that then. Yeah. Because
I love what you guys said about it. Especially,
they actually made a can that looks like a sticker can.
Yeah, yeah. But it's not really.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
So what you said about thought aroma...
How Cass is so angry because Cass would never get that contract. So it's...
How do they not owe people like Other Half money for this? Like, this is...
I tried to peel it off, but it doesn't...
This is straight thievery.
It's got a really great name too.
So for people at home that can't see it, the top and bottom are just plain aluminum. In the middle of the can
is printed to look
like it's got a sticker on it.
It's got the independent label on there.
And
so
it's
that's
called
important.
New England IPA, hazy and juicy, 1 pint.
All
it's 6.8.
35 IBUs.
All right.
So you were close, Augie.
Yeah, no, I was wrong on that. I stand corrected. But here's the thing, like, and I kind of stand by the old world British.
Developed
and
in New England.
They worked on this. They worked on this in their pilot brewery. And Megan Parisi's their brewer there, and she's very, very talented.
No. I feel like they're doing all the things that will get a reaction out of the throat beards on one can. Like,
yeah.
Like, oh my god.
It's good.
Was there a date code?
It's a good
job?
Move.
There
it's
is,
probably
but
from
it's,
like 2 months ago.
But it's unreadable. It's an unreadable date code.
But
if you can make that out, yeah, exactly. They need to change the ink and the toner. Yeah, was this your press sample that you got?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, so this is about 2.5-3 months old.
But
so,
like you said, the aroma still completely jumps out.
It's still
so
there.
It does.
What is that engineering that it's so aromatically tropical, but then doesn't really follow through in the flavor?
And here's
they didn't hop it till very late.
It's, yeah.
It, like I said, I would be surprised if there's much whirlpoolness at all. I would bet you there's some Citra powder in the play, and I bet you it's...
Sure.
I would say...
For the amount that they're
80%
making?
80% of the hops that's in here went in cold.
The interesting thing, and now that I know what the beer is, I like the fact that I was thinking British, because Sam Adams has always been one of these breweries, and they make fine beer, but has always been light on the hops. They've always just sort of like held back a little bit. And I don't know if it's because of the price of the ingredient or they get a little gun-shy with trying to appeal to as many people as possible or what, but like a lot of their IPAs, there's been some really phenomenal ones in small batches, but the mass release stuff that they've done have been just pulled back just from where the norm is these days, or even the norm was. And so
But so the guy's chief calls the Juice Wolves, the Haze Bros.
Jeff O'Neill from Industrial Arts.
He calls them Juice Wolves.
Hashtag Juice Wolves.
Hashtag Juice Wolves. It's wonderful.
It's all over the ground.
But I imagine the Juice Wolves love this, right? Because it's...
But do they?
I don't know.
Think
I'd be
so.
Curious.
It's
what's it trading on Untappd right now?
Cass?
Well, I can't imagine. But they're not going to charge much for this, right?
3.8?
They're not going to charge much for this, right?
Oh, God, no. The price point on that's going to be like $10 for a 4-pack, yeah.
Yeah, so...
Or even a 6, yeah.
I imagine for the Juice Wolves, this is a good beer.
I also wonder, though, if the Juice Wolves will respect it because it is Sam Adams, because that's one of those breweries that, you know,
people they're too big to be craft.
Yeah, well, people are digital on that. People, right. It's, and I don't understand it.
I think this will be a perfect, we were talking about gateway publications. I think this is going to be, as
no,
Sam Adams
I think
Adams
you said
has,
gateway pubs.
Pubs, yeah. I think that this beer will be a great gateway beer for folks who are getting into the style or folks who trust the Sam Adams name, and then maybe they'll move on to Other Half or Treehouse or, you know, whatever monstrosity and, you're and making in Atlantic Highlands right now.
Well, I'm definitely up to no good, dude. Mm-hmm. Worry. It involves chutney.
It's what I've...
Fear it.
Oh, God.
Fear it. There's chutney in the next Juice Wolf carton beer. First, I have to make the chutney. Then I have to make the beer out of the chutney.
So those of you playing along at home, if you just threw up in your mouth a little, drink.
Wash it out. Let's not talk about chutney. Let's talk about Katner writing.
Yes.
So interesting. So I was just saying, I'm finally getting to make some more of these over the years I haven't gotten to. And now what's interesting to me, what I think when you share this beer with me is, for all the good and bad, and without getting into the Sam Adams discussion, he really is a contributing factor in the craft world. He's really good to us little guys, and he does help. It'll get us hops when we need it. And he's definitely always done well. But I imagine these guys will make an advance on, because they're Sam Adams and because of the nature of their business model versus all of ours, I imagine they make a big advances in making this type of beer shelf stable. Right, because that's a concern with these little,
sure,
right,
all late hop things. I imagine they let, much like I give JC and Other Half credit for what they're doing to really extend the life of these beers. They, I imagine Sam Adams has the means and to really take that someplace. So that's what I hear when a brewer tastes that beer with you guys, or at least when this one does.
They've also dabbled in. Do you remember Rebel Raw?
I do.
A couple years ago, they
the
dabbled
spray
in
paint can, yeah, tap handle. Yeah, yeah.
They wanted to be BrewDog back then, and now they want to be
right,
Other Half.
Right, pretty much. Always emulation.
But Rebel IPA, and then they did Rebel Raw. I want to say it was, but it was one of these non-shelf stable. Drink it within 3 weeks. They were very early on to adopt that. They
Cooks
saw the trends coming. Yeah, Cook.
Cook.
Yeah. So it's Cook for the brew guy. It's Koch for the former mayor of New York, and it's Coke if you're a wealthy Republican financier.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's all the
There's
same.
There's another
word.
One though.
It's all spelled the same. But okay. Yeah, it depends on where you all grew up.
I'm going with Coke.
Okay. You're wrong. For somebody who cares so much about pronunciations,
I'm wrong all the time.
But
Kat,
they
how
did,
do you say?
But they did dabble.
Cook.
Yeah.
Cook.
Yeah, because Kat's a
reporter. I thought you just told me. But it's not Koch.
No, that's Koch. Ed, the
and
former
it's not
mayor of New York.
Coach.
Coke.
Okay.
Coke is the guy.
The brothers.
Yeah, the brothers.
Brothers Coke.
Yeah. So Jim Cook and Greg Cook are not related, but they both come from Ohio, where if you're born in Ohio and it's spelled that way, it's pronounced Cook.
Okay. I'll try to remember
God,
that.
We are so in the weeds. We are so in the weeds.
But I've learned something.
Okay. But they did have a beer that wasn't shelf stable, and that was their original foray into this. This one is obviously a little bit more.
Well, yeah, you said it's 2.5 months old.
But they also do say on the label, on their screen printed label, keep cold, drink fresh. So they, at least in theory,
that's
want
cool
you to
say that.
It is, absolutely.
But their distributors aren't keeping this cold. Sam Adams is distributed. Sam Adams is distributed by big
globally.
Distributors everywhere.
Yeah.
This beer leaves the brewery warm. Goes to the store warm, and I'm sure.
I don't know. We'll call their press shop and ask them.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you think this beer tasted differently leaving the brewery than it did arriving at us?
Yeah, I definitely, just because it has to.
I'd like to drink it fresh. And I think these beers do drop off after a 2 month period,
right,
a 3 month period. That's why I wish
but
we could read the
Sam
date
Adams,
code at the bottom.
You have to expect people are going to buy it 2 months later, or they're going to buy it and keep it in their fridge for 2 months. Like,
sure.
If you're Sam Adams, it has to be shelf stable.
Well, sure, and that's just the nature of a brewery that size.
Beer too has hit the table, thieves.
Mint, basil, some sort of herbaceous kind of.
I'm still in the wine parts of the smells.
Okay.
I have not had this beer before. This is a recent purchase.
Oh,
a recent purchase.
Discovery. Oh, you didn't just go
you
to the
actually spent money on
fridge.
I mixed it up.
I feel fancy.
I shopped for you.
We used to have a policy that you couldn't bring samples, but
really?
I think
I would have brought this anyway.
Yeah, but then Bernstein just killed that. Bernstein's but like, this is in the back of my fridge.
No, I thoughtfully selected a sample and saved it for you for what it's worth.
I'm excited to try it. I'm seriously, thank you for that. So, ginger, maybe? I know, what do I call ginger that isn't ginger? I feel like I do that to beers a lot. And yeah, it always ends up
like
being
cilantro
the same thing.
Or cardamom or some sort of, I don't
that's,
know. I don't
that's the chutney.
Yeah, that's
great. Nice. I get chutney. Can't wait till you
everything's chutney.
Stop, because now like you have me thinking like candied jellies or something that's going on with this beer, which would make me almost think like marmalade ginger or something like that. I haven't tasted it yet, though.
I'm thinking it's, like sushi ginger versus like
yeah, that's what I mean,
spice.
Like pickled ginger.
Yeah.
Ooh, it is salty.
Yeah, and pickly gingery.
Huh.
Somebody's, this is definitely going to be called a goes.
I would hope so.
I definitely get, heffa, I get coriander
like,
as well.
Some problem. Yeah.
No, if this is a heffa, this is no, dirty.
Somebody's got an infection.
Fix that shit.
Yeah, it's pickled ginger, right, Kat?
All right, you're not supposed to help us because you know what
I'm
it is, but I definitely
I
get that as a flavor now for sure. Before. Like that really cheap, like, you know, Wegmans sushi ginger.
Oh, I might know what this is. Did this come in a large bottle?
Small bottle.
Oh, all right. Okay.
You don't have to know what it is.
That's not the game
about
we play,
John.
Is.
We don't play
yeah,
guess what the beer
clues.
Is, John.
I'm...
Unless it's Orval
or
done.
Bone. I'm almost done with my...
Your Randy sauce. Your Randy sauce. Somebody back him up on the Randy sauce.
What's the UBV on there? Like 7?
I don't know, but either way...
I think it's higher than I always expected.
Yeah, no, it's... I think this is what I was drinking when Pete Brown was in town and we did the podcast with him and then... I just Irish goodbye'd you guys and like wound up at like I don't even know where.
Dude, I was so polluted when we walked out of Brooklyn. Did you? I was,
you remember right, we had a,
we'll
a nice
we had
dinner,
dinner
then, right?
Yeah, we'll oh, save yeah. we'll save that for the
we had
Patreon
dinner with good
show.
Wine.
Yeah. I'll sure show did. You the text I got from Garrett. I'll read the text I got from Garrett
on the
on
next
the Patreon,
Patreon episode.
Show, yeah.
Give money, people, don't miss it.
I got an email.
Patreon. Speaking of Patreoning, so Vinepair. One of the investors is Diageo. That's come up before.
Yeah.
That's interesting, but let's
Diageo
talk about...
Diageo Tech Ventures.
But so you've done what seems like a sensible arc in your writing, according to Justin's deep notes, but Men's Journal, Ale Street, Craft Brewer. Do you write for John ever?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. No, Kat
was pre-John
was
one
of, Kat is, Kat was pre-me.
Pre-John.
And it has a great, great wealth of archived articles at beerandbrewing.com.
But so we often talk about, because I'm not a very smart person, and I have very much hard time keeping track of what's what in that world, but do you feel there's, like, what's the difference between writing for something like Men's Journal versus something like Vinepair, and is any of the difference, do you think, ascribable to the involvement of a beverage thing? You know what I mean? Is that a fair question? Or
it
does it make sense what I said?
Yep.
I'm going to go back to drinking while you answer.
In the case of Vinepair, there's not really like a sketchy gray area for me. There are probably 20 investors in Vinepair. One of them is this tech venture firm of Diageo. From what I've been told, there is no real active relationship or any obligation to cover Diageo products. There are other publications that have more direct investment, and like their entire website
right.
is just...
That comes up and
yeah, you know, I basically sponsored confused. Articles that don't say they're sponsored articles.
Yeah.
In terms of comparing to other publications, I don't know. Vinepair is the most transparent I've worked for.
Yeah. But so what's the difference?
Oh, wait.
You said Vinepair strives to be
except for Craft Beer and Brewing.
I hope we're transparent.
Okay, you are. That's true. Craft Beer and Brewing does not have shady sponsorship policies. Fair.
But let's pretend they do.
At least that I'm aware
let's
of.
Let's pretend yeah. they do since John flies first class everywhere.
that's on the Patreon dialogue.
God damn it. How do I not get any of this sweet, sweet Patreon money?
Your flight cost how much?
But anyway, back to you. So Vinepair strives to be conversational and just kind of fun and informative and da da da. What did Men's Journal articles strive to be? Because you know what I mean. Like, what's the difference in, or was there not one? Is it just Kat writes a Kat story and gives
yeah.
it to whoever's asked
for Men's Journal? It was sort of just I'm the beer writer, and it was mostly news, kind of newsy stuff and occasional features. It was just to have a beer section. They didn't really edit me much or
right
Yeah, Medish Journal was an interesting experience.
So at Vine Pair, are you only writing about beer, or do you cover other things too?
I cover other things too. Yeah. I am venturing into wine and spirits, and I've kind of gotten there by doing hybrid stories, like cocktail-inspired beers or breweries that are also wineries, and now I'm sort of doing...
So beer is still your reference for those
stories.
Yeah, beer
is still my first love and always love, okay. But I'm also kind of expanding into being more of a booze generalist.
So I just came back from... believe it or not, Thieves, we've been with you every Monday at 5, but we've had some big gaps in recording because we did like Hunapoo stuff. But I recently went out to Vegas. This is just something I've been meaning to bring up on the show, and I think it'd be fun to hear the writer ideas versus the brewer ideas. But I was in Vegas for a night. Went to a great little container park kids playground thing that I guess Zappos built out there. Let the kids play, and I was drinking beer, and I was a little craft bar. And
not your kids, right? You were just by yourself.
No, my kids. My children. Anyway, they're running around the park and having fun. I went into a little craft place and grabbed a beer. And there was a guy at the bar that was clearly from a brewery selling or picking up a tap handle or something. So I started a conversation with him, as you will. And Vegas is, like, we all know how hard it is, or at least I think I've talked on the show before about Jersey and our distributors and just the nightmare it is, the way the laws are set up in Jersey to be independent in this state.
Right.
But Vegas is clearly, like, you know, their business is the distributor model like nowhere else in the world, right? So I was talking to him about that. He said, you know, he goes through the effort he makes. In Vegas, he made, like, he had this crazy-ass bombed-out double-barrel stout, like, 13 or 14%. And I was like, really? In Vegas? I think you guys drink a lot more, you know, lagers and things like that. He's like, well, you got to make different stuff because you can't get a tap handle with a lager because they own it. So we make these. And then his complaint that kind of goes back to a recurring thing, more on our Facebook conversations than here. It's like he makes this big, beautiful stout. He makes 40 kegs of it or whatever his size would be. He's selling it for like $300 a keg and getting that from the certain bars that want to have his cool beer on, and it's going well. And immediately an AB guy shows up and offers them free kegs of Bourbon County as a buy deal. If you buy Bud, we'll give you a free keg of Bourbon County.
But wait, there's more.
Undercutting his $300 keg and taking him right off the tap at every store. And it was... So when people say, you know, when we talk on the show about how big a deal is it if they make good beer, that was a story I'd never heard in all the conversations we have about this. I was like, holy shit, that could put a little guy out of business, and that's directly doing that. So talk about your feelings on things like that, what you've seen. Do those stories come up for you? What's the weirdness of little guy, big guy stuff? Has Vine Bear broached into that yet?
That story is a perfect example of the problem that a lot of consumers don't perceive. It is something that we write about a lot on Vine Pair. Vine Pair is pretty staunchly anti-big beer. I tend to take a more moderate stance in that everyone's running a business and beer is a business. And it is interesting, though, that Bourbon County has always been this, like, exception to the rule. Like, even people who are, you know, pitchforks in hand, like, indie all the way. But when Bourbon County is released, I'm still going to buy my Bourbon County because it's so good. Mm. And I don't know. I guess it just
this
comes
could
down
be
to
Bourbon County.
Go ahead, make
this
your joke.
This could be Bourbon County. This beer we're drinking in glass number two, right?
Make your joke.
Was it the 17?
Is it the 17 in Bourbon County that tastes like this? The 15?
He's making a bad joke. Just leave.
It is a problem. I mean, this is what we talk about when we're saying there's competition for tap handles and shelf space.
Yeah.
There it is happening.
Where do you see it going, though? What do you think's going to happen?
Honestly, I think for it to go in a good direction for independent brewers, then consumers are going to have to know more and care more.
Okay.
I think the challenge is more in educating consumers than it is, like, fighting back against big beer in a way of, like, I don't know, some of the things the BA has been doing.
Do you think consumers care, though?
I think they would care if they knew they should care. But most of them don't.
If they knew they should care.
If they knew they should care. That's an interesting phrase.
Or, like, if they
knew
they would care. Either way.
Right.
Some would.
I think they don't care because they don't have to.
There's no team on that, right? There's those who will care, and
I think a lot of people don't care about supporting small breweries. I have a lot of friends who
we all know we're not in the beer industry.
You guys have no brand loyalty.
No, they have.
You guys have destroyed everything.
But you know, they'll bring over, say, a 6-pack of Goose IPA, and I'll be like, "Oh, did you know? You know, oh, this is owned by Anheuser-Busch." Oh, really?
And they're like, "No, they like you. It was $8.99."
They're
like,
"Once whatever. I know, they
yeah,
care."
Exactly. Yeah. They don't care.
But, the I price mean, was right for tonight.
No, they don't
right.
care.
But he's literally a textbook millennial. He's that case study you read on Facebook.
We're
every
old
day.
Millennials.
Anyway, all right. So glass number two.
Cass is an old soul. All right, so I think we discussed all the flavors that are going in, and I'll go along with your pickled ginger thing. It's got some sort of, like, herbal thing.
I think there's coriander in it. Yeah, I think somebody tried to do that goes.
And then
added a fruit juice of some kind to it.
There's something, we did a vacation in Alaska a couple years ago. We were in Homer, and I went out and bought fresh halibut that had just been brought in off the boat, and I made some really simple tacos. We were in an Airbnb, so I didn't have a lot of spices or anything, so I basically just like did steamed vegetables and grilled up some really nice flaky white fish. Something like this, I think, would make that dish pop a little bit more for protein rich, a little, you know, non-fishy fish, as it were. This would be the spice that you would need to complement a relatively bland but, you know, still hearty dish like that. That's where I would pair this.
Yeah, it's That what you've said makes sense. I'm not crazy about it.
I don't think I'd have more than one of these. I feel like I'm drinking one of these tiny glasses here that's emptying of the sriracha.
Of John Hall's secret awesome sauce.
Who knew? Like 8 ounces? I don't think any more than 8 ounces, and then I would move on to something else after dinner.
Yeah. No, there's a course for it. I think you're right. What I'm calling the coriander is that little bit of bite in the back of the throat. It's like a husky bite. I'm imagining that's coriander. And I don't like the way it's setting with the edge, because this is a very acidic beer.
Yeah.
It's the level of acidity Lauren would like. Like it's definitely near pickle level acidity, which is why we keep saying pickle ginger.
Pickle ginger maybe, but like I'm not getting the same acidity as I would pickle juice off of it. That's just me.
I think it's seriously acidic.
You bought this beer, but you haven't had this beer.
That's right.
What did you think it would be, and what is it, and how do those reconcile with each other?
I thought it was going to be a little more herbal leaning, like lemon zest, herbal subtle saison. So this is definitely more gingery and salty than I was expecting.
Okay.
I could see drinking it with some sushi or with some bland fish or something like that, but I have a sensitive esophagus that is a little acidic for me.
What is it, Augie?
It's interesting.
It's from Highway Manor Brewing in Pennsylvania.
Highway Manor?
Yep. Has anyone heard of Highway Manor?
I have
not heard of Highway Manor.
Cass has.
Did we have them on the show?
Beers?
Nope.
I'm not sure this label's not a microaggression.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that either. It's
against
called
brewers?
Hong Kong Sejong.
Oh, yikes.
And it is a beer that's made with lemongrass and ginger.
Right. Yeah. So it's a ginger lemongrass.
And on the lemongrass, I'm imagining
Sejong is the Sejong joke.
Yeah.
The lemongrass makes sense for what that was.
Sure.
And I just called it coriander because I couldn't figure it out. It's a neat, stubby little bottle.
I did like the bottle.
It's like a Duvel bottle.
Duvel bottle,
isn't it?
But yeah. Smaller, right?
Like a stubby Duvel.
Yeah, like if Duvel did nips. And there's a cock on it for some reason drinking a beer.
When did we start using nips instead of ponies?
I
think it's regional.
I think it's regional. Pony. I'm from the south.
Oh.
Yeah, because you say Tim.
Tim. instead of what?
Whatever the way you say the word,
whatever that
the
guy's
name
is.
Tim is
yeah.
funny to me every time. TM. He adds an extra vowel in the middle of three-letter words.
I never noticed that, Jess.
John is done with his.
That was the end of the awesome sauce. John is now going to shine for us. You got a letter, Poppy?
Hey, I do.
Hey, why don't you read it?
We got a couple of short letters.
Okay.
One's about
rapid fire.
Yep. First one is from Michael K.
Hi, Michael K.
Hey.
And he says, does Carton Brewing sponsor still this beer?
No. Patreons.
The answer is no.
Well, I mean, I guess Augie Carton sponsors this show because Augie Carton bought the equipment.
You got this stuff started
3 years ago.
Yeah. But, but everything that is going forward.
But that was,
been,
yeah, everything else since then has been Patreons taking care of us or us.
Or out of our own pockets.
Or us just finding excuses to get together and prove that, that Brian Cass is alive.
That's the point of this these shows today, right?
All right, next letter.
Just to get Cass out here. But no, we don't. No,
Carton Brewing does not sponsor.
Carton Brewing doesn't do any marketing.
Next.
Jason S.
Hey, Jason.
Subject is ice cold stouts.
Ice cold stouts.
When will bars and restaurants stop serving stouts at the same temperature as lagers?
Never.
No, they won't.
It's too much work.
You're asking the bar to install a second refrigerator.
As long as you're talking about Guinness, it's not going to change. For the tourists.
No, he's talking about Terst.
Oh, Terst.
Which has the temperature control
capacitor.
We need more places to get the flux capacitor, and then it'll happen.
Yeah, but it'll never happen. It'll always be kept at 34-degree fridge temperature, because most of guys, there's an issue with that that people need to know,
something.
And that's beer traveling through a line needs to be that cold or the gas breaks out. It doesn't pour through standard taps right.
What is this? Why are we doing
I brought a special
we have a
bonus
third beer.
Beer
that we're going to pour.
And you're going to pour it on top of that pickled ginger beer?
Is there one more letter?
There's no way it stands a chance.
Is there another
No, that's it.
Oh. I thought you said there's like
said
a series
rapid
of rapid fire.
It's two is a series.
I was just trying to get
Yeah, John rushed me through the Guinness answer because he thought he had seven more rapid fire letters coming up.
It's overpowering everything that beer was doing.
I
still have beer in my mouth.
It's got that other half onion stank on it.
Onion.
Pellets. You all right?
Oh, gosh, yeah, there it does. That's
pellets.
That's a thing.
dank.
Why are you mad, John, that his rapid fire was two shots?
Yeah, I thought I was like ready for the lightning round. I had my hand on the buzzer.
Justin
I'm
has been making
like,
people
feeling like really
just so you know, Justin has
really
been making people feel the way you feel right now for 30-something years. It's okay.
36.
So I have to tell you, I brought you this almost only because of its description.
Wow. This is double dry hop.
No,
quadruple dry hop.
Maybe.
Yeah.
it's got a bow tie on it. Who's got the bow tie?
It is a quadruple dry hop.
Is that Monday Night Brewing with their bow tie?
It is.
Uh-huh.
From Atlanta, Georgia.
You handsome sons of bitches.
Don't call it Hotlanta. I've been here for his quadruple dry hopped IPA. Now
I'm gonna have to talk to these guys about a waiver.
Dank, tropical, hazy. Written right on there. Mm-hmm. It is definitely dank. That's the onion thing I laughed
Very
about.
Onion.
Monday night's a fun brewery to go to. They if you walk in wearing a necktie, they encourage you to cut it off and stamp it to the wall like those old meatpacking district bars where the women would take their bras off
bras
and
yep.
But there's a lot of neckties hanging on the wall there, including.
Aren't you a bow tie man, John?
I am a bow tie man, so thanks for bringing this.
Bow tie man.
So you must have a bow tie on their wall.
I do actually.
No, but your bow tie is actually tie. Why would you have to cut it off? Because you just unknot
it's like
it.
One of those
it's
things.
More expressive.
It's more of like the rebel against the corporate machine or something. I don't know. It's, yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't actually think that I cut mine off, but yeah.
You delicately untied.
I was going to say, you take
it's
very
not
good
delicate.
Care of your
ties. It's just one smooth
just
move.
A one
it's,
fell
it's the best thing about it. It's how you know the evening is over and the best is yet to come.
John, I thought it said brood. I thought it said brood on it. I was going to say, oh, that's the future. But that's is that a Best Buy date?
It
best
is.
Buy.
Yeah. 08/26.
So you've been there.
They think this is good for
all. Tell me more about it, because they have been making a big splash in New York lately.
Oh, are they coming up here now? I had no idea.
They were at the New York City Beer Week opening bash.
That's cool.
And they've been sending a lot of beers here.
Yeah, these were a bunch of guys who started a brewery, gosh, I want to say 5-6 years ago now, and were one of the first larger breweries to come into Atlanta and industrial space, which had a couple of cool brew pubs for a while, and a couple of Sweetwater was down there and some of the others, but they were I guess one of the first of the new wave, as it were. So if you're down in Atlanta, go check them out. Also, if you're down in Atlanta, go check out Mitch Steele's new place. Mitch used to be at Stone.
Mitch Steele.
He's got his new brewery called New Realm, and they also just bought
Green Flash in Virginia Beach, Virginia.
Yeah, so these guys...
They didn't buy Green Flash. They bought the brewery.
They bought the brewery that used to house...
The brewery Green Flash. Built.
Yeah.
Worked in for 3 months and then abandoned.
Right.
Lack of capital.
Well, glad they found a buyer. That's got to be good for both Green Flash and Mitch. And
if anybody
can brew beer at that scale, it's Mitch Steele.
Shameless self-promotion. There's a pretty cool profile on that new brewery and Mitch in the latest issue of Craft Beer and Brewing Magazine.
All right.
Which is also not a sponsor of this podcast.
Also doesn't sponsor this podcast, although they should. They sponsor your other podcast.
Well, I work for them, so therefore they gave me the equipment for it.
I understand. It's... You're like the Steve Harvey of beer podcasts.
I'm everywhere. My mustache just isn't nearly as full.
But we could work on it. Next November.
It's no Cass.
Cat, I really... Nobody.
Cass doing a
Steve
Harvey mustache. Nobody's
stashes like Cass stashes. By the way, Cass is here, guys. We missed you, Cass. Thanks for joining us.
He doesn't
have
a mustache anymore. It's a full-on beer.
Yeah, but I miss that sexy mustache he had on Roses. Kat, thank you for joining us. I appreciate you
being
here.
It's been a lot of fun.
Thanks for
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for taking the side of the little guys and your preferences on everything.
If people want to find you,
do you do that Twitter or Insta
stuff? Oh, sure. At Beer Affair, as in a love affair with beer.
Uh-huh.
Twitter, Instagram, all the things.
And then VinePair.com.
VinePair.com.
Awesome.
/author/KatW.
Apparently you can show up in a physical magazine as well. Every now and then, if John remembers to give
that's
you
word. That's right.
So I'll put under pressure.
L Street News column coming out soon.
Oh, that's still
L Street News.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, I would like
Forder
to...
I know. Big ups to Tony Forder.
Yes.
Good guy.
I would like to thank the writers for writing us. I would like to thank the Patreons for being the actual sponsors of the show.
Yeah, thank you guys.
All
we
200
get to be
or so of you.
Completely independent media. We need more of you to do it. Last time we asked, a bunch of people did sign up. We got bunch of new Patreons in the last couple weeks. So thank you for that. And please, guys, I mean, seriously, if all 40 or so thousand of you gave us $2 each, John would fly first class to this recording.
Even when I wasn't working. Yeah.
But we can use the help. The more money you give, the more fun stuff we get to do, like go out to Denver and interview people. And yeah, we could do neat stuff.
We'll do live shows.
Goes well.
Is that a conflict of interest if I contribute to Patreon?
No. Nope. No. We'll take money from anybody.
All right, cool.
But you have to call... I made a rule at some point that you can't call yourself VinePair because we won't... Because we do thank yous, like we read names and stuff.
I'm not VinePair.
No, but you know what I mean. That's my rule. You got to be a real name or a wonderfully funny name like Saison Slayer 69. Anyway, thanks, y'all.
Cheers,
if they want to write us, just, you know, how do they do that?
They can do that at sellthisbeerpodcast@gmail.com.
Right on. Get at us, guys. Let us know what you
think. Cheers.